engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May I begin, friends, by inviting you to share. Hit the share button on this video as you are watching online, because you right now can help us grow our audience immensely. If you hit that share button, sometimes that by itself can get 100 additional people watching us. And we thank you for helping us grow our audience by sharing these videos as you watch them. So we are seeing now in these readings the public ministry of Jesus, preaching, going from town to town to preach because he has come for this purpose, he said. I need to proclaim the word of the Lord. He, of course, is the word of the Lord made flesh. So he comes to proclaim it. He's got to reach now as many people as possible, teaching them to become his disciples, teaching them how to have faith, how to receive the forgiveness of sins, what law of life to live under, and what the hope is for them for eternal salvation. Preaching is urgent because it's an urgent gift of God that must be opened and used before the time of judgment comes. It's a limited amount of time. So there's this sense of urgency in Jesus, and we see it in the apostles as well, as the preaching mission of the church grows and is carried on even after his ascension into heaven. Together with that preaching, you see all the different ways that he's serving the people, right? The healings, the freeing from the demons, and there is this ministry. And both the ministry of preaching and of tending to the sick and setting people free from evil spirits, all of this continues in the work of the church. It's Jesus himself working through his apostles, working with the apostles. We see this at the conclusion of the Gospels. You know, he ascends into heaven. The apostles go about doing the work, and we're told Jesus was there working with them through the signs and wonders, the miracles, the preaching. This has continued ever since. This is the work of the church. The church, this is what distinguishes the church from a mere social service agency. We're doing this with a deep awareness that we're the body of Christ. We're doing it in not only in union with Christ, not just following the example of Christ. That doesn't get to the deep reality of what's going on here. It's not just that we're following his example. We can follow the example of a lot of great people in history who did good things, and we try to imitate them. This is deeper than that. This is Jesus himself alive in us through his Spirit, working through us, speaking through us, because we have the authority from him to proclaim his gospel. "He who hears you hears me," he said to those early disciples that he sent out on the road and on the preaching task. So this is literally When we look at and the works of the church convey all this, don't they? That the Catholic Church is the greatest provider of social services in the world. We look at the hospital system, for example, throughout the world. We look at the educational system throughout the world. Countless schools of every level of education. We look at the various other social services. Pick up the directory of Catholic Charities, for example, in your own diocese, and you see, pages and pages and pages of all these different kinds of services, counseling and social assistance for the poor, for the homeless, for the hungry, for the sick, for the divorced, for the widowed. I mean, it's just, the legal help that's available. I mean, it's mind-boggling, the array of services done in the name of Jesus and with the awareness that it's the continuation of the ministry of Jesus. Absolutely amazing and inspiring. We've got to have the freedom to do this. We've got to have the freedom to do this vis-a-vis the state. And a lot of times the church doesn't do this work in a vacuum. The church is doing this work in tandem with the state as well. Very often we're just, in our own religious circles, but very often too. You look at, as I said, all the services of Catholic Charities and whatnot. What's involved here is getting grants from the government very frequently, or entering into various contracts and arrangements with the government. Why shouldn't we work together? The religious realm, the civil realm, the church, the state. They're their own distinct arenas of responsibility and autonomy, but that doesn't mean they're supposed to be disconnected. Society is best served when the church and state are working together. And this is where the question of religious freedom comes in. And this is where, as we have this novena of masses in thanksgiving for President Donald Trump, we see what he and his team have done to facilitate the continuation of the very mission of preaching and healing and caring for people that we just read in this gospel. Let me explain. Let's take the question of arrangements with the government. You're doing a good work. You're setting up houses for the homeless. You're running schools and hospitals. You are feeding the poor. Well, a lot of this will involve grants from the government or contracts with the government. Should an organization that is working in the name of Jesus and with the awareness that we are bearing witness to the teachings of Jesus, should it be harder for them to get a government grant? Should it be harder for them to enter into a contract with the government in order to do that work? Or should they be on equal level with groups that are trying to do that work that have no particular religious faith? Another question related to that. If a group gets government money to help do their work, now whether people think that's a good idea or not, that's a separate question. But should, in getting that government money, should they have to be quiet about their religious faith? Should they have to hide the crucifixes from the wall because the government is helping to pay for that building where the crucifix hangs? Of course, our answer to these questions is no. It should not be harder for religious groups to do this work in tandem with the state. And we should not have to either apologize for or hide our faith. Well, guess who else believes the same thing? President Donald Trump and his team. And they have worked, and even right just the other day, there was another rule that was finalized. These are government policies saying, look, here's what the president has said in his words and in his actions. He said, we're going to put all the religious groups on an equal playing field with the secular and non-religious groups. They shouldn't have to go through extra hoops. The president has instituted federal regulations that say this. They should not have to go through extra hoops to be able to serve the poor, heal the sick, minister to those people physically and spiritually who come to the church for help. Faith groups, the president has said, are to be treated on an equal level with the secular groups. Not only should they not have to go through extra hoops, but neither should they feel that they have to somehow hide who they are in order to do this work simply because they're in a contractual arrangement with the government. They should not be told they have to be quiet about the very Jesus who's inspiring their work. They should not apologize, bend over backwards to hide, or somehow be made to feel ashamed of their faith. We have a president that defends religious freedom. Not only that, but God forbid that the government should put some kind of rule in place that causes us to violate our conscience. That was the case under Obama Biden, just in the 8 years prior to, in the 4 years prior to President Trump's election, where they were telling ministries like Priests for Life, Catholic University of America, EWTN, and the Archdiocese of Washington. Pay attention, friends, there in the Archdiocese. You know this. You know what I'm talking about. Diocese of Pittsburgh, Diocese of Erie, various other dioceses, various other schools, apostolates, ministries, Catholic, and also other religions. They were telling us that when we have our health insurance plans in place for the employees that we hire, we have about 50 employees here at Priests for Life, that we were supposed to include in that health insurance coverage various forms of abortion and contraception that are contrary to our faith. We said no. We stood up to the Obama-Biden administration and we said no. We had to bring that to court. We went up through the court system, all the way to the Supreme Court. It was only the election of President Donald Trump in 2016, which resulted in 2017 in us getting an exemption, a full exemption from that particular rule, so that we did not have to choose between following our faith and following the law. If they did force us to choose, of course we're going to choose to follow our faith. We will obey God rather than men. But why should we have to make that choice in the first place? That's unconstitutional. And that was our argument. You can't force a citizen to violate their faith in order to be in accordance with the law. You can't do that. Well, guess who believes that too? President Donald Trump. He strongly believes and strongly defends by action, we're not just talking about words, that nobody should ever be forced to violate their faith. On the international arena, he has gathered nations together in assemblies at the United Nations to talk about religious freedom. He has instituted these meetings that are now ongoing, not only in the United States, but in other countries too. Regular meetings, this has never been seen before, regular meetings of government officials and other groups and church leaders coming together. Here in the United States, there's a special meeting every single week of top officials talking about how to preserve the right of you and me to do the kind of things we're doing right now, to engage in public worship and to live out our faith, to carry out the mission here. As we read in the gospel, he cured the sick with various diseases. He drove out demons. Everyone is looking for you, they told Jesus, and it's still true. People are looking for the services of the church. We have our education system. We have the ministries to the poor. We house the homeless, we heal the sick, we have our hospitals and nursing homes. And we have a president who stands with us to be able to do this freely and securely and on an equal footing with everybody else. There's another thing the president has helped us to do. Jesus said, I have come for this purpose to preach. You remember what the president said to pastors shortly after he took office? No one should be, I'm reading the words of Donald Trump, no one should be censoring sermons or targeting pastors. In America, we do not fear people speaking freely from the pulpit. We embrace it. America has a rich tradition of social change, beginning in our pews and our pulpits. We must never infringe on the noble tradition of change from the church and progress from the pew. Look at the civil rights movement. It grew out of the churches. Look at the pro-life movement. It's the same. President Trump says, under my administration, free speech does not end at the steps of a cathedral or a synagogue or any other house of worship. We are giving our churches their voices back. See, because there's an amendment in the law called the Johnson Amendment. It's in the tax code that says that churches can't talk about politics. Well, it says that nonprofits can't intervene in a political race. Problem is, it doesn't define what that means. And so some people, including some church leaders, interpret that in such a restrictive way. It's like that you have to stand here and go like this. That's it. That's your sermon. That's what you have to say about politics and elections. Actually, if I had a piece of tape here right now, I'd put it over my mouth. Because that's what some people say. Even church leaders. Shame on those who want to censor ourselves. Stop it! Jesus said, I have come here precisely to preach. President Trump says, we want to hear you, we need to hear you. Shame on us if we're the problem and we're censoring ourselves. But it's happening, it still happens, and it continues to happen. Oh, can't say anything that upsets anybody. What kind of Savior do you follow? Because it isn't Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. But we actually have memos coming out to priests and coming out to churches from certain bishops. Oh, we shouldn't say anything that gets anybody angry. Go tell Jesus that. Your problem is not with us, it's with Jesus Christ. Not going to say anything to get anybody angry. What kind of planet are you coming from? I wonder, when these people wake up in the morning, are they in full possession of their faculties? Because to say something like that is so utterly ridiculous and absurd that it boggles the mind. So the president, you know what the president has also done? He strengthened the rights of our students to pray in school. And he strengthened the rights of students on college campuses to speak up for their faith. He says, he's been saying to the college campuses, you are not going to get federal money if you tell students on the campus that they have to shut up because they're faithful pro-life Christians, or they want to have events where they do what Jesus does here in the gospel and preach the gospel. You know what else the president does? He defends conscience rights. And I've spoken to you about this, about how he has defended citizens. And there's hundreds and hundreds of cases that have come before at his invitation. He says to people, let us know if you feel you're being forced to do something against your faith. And he defends people who, for example, healthcare professionals who are being forced to participate in abortions against their conscience. Our president defends them strongly. A word to Biden and to the Democrats. I'm going to say it now very clearly. Don't you dare try to tamper with or weaken. Don't you dare try to tamper with or weaken the protections that President Trump has put in place for our consciences, our religious freedom, our right to pray and to preach, our right to follow our conscience in the workplace. Don't you dare start tampering with that. Who are these people, anyway, who think that they can come against the very principle that's articulated in our First Amendment, the very reason that our founding fathers wanted to escape tyranny so that they could worship God as they saw fit? Now we have a Democrat Party, and God forgive everyone who supports, donates to, or votes for the Democrat Party. God have mercy on you, because what you're doing is you're standing in the way of people worshiping God. You're standing in the way of religious freedom because, mark my words, these Democrats want to dismantle all these policies that I was just talking about. And we have got to be alert. We have got to speak up. We have got to stop that from happening. We've got to tell our members of Congress, you go along with any kind of an effort that takes this freedom away again, and we're going to vote you right out of office. Well, friends, we're here to give thanks for the freedom that our government under President Trump gives us to do exactly what the Lord has commanded us to do. Let's worship him freely and joyfully. Let's preach loudly and clearly. Let's serve generously and capably in our schools, in our hospitals, in our programs for the poor and the needy and the unborn. Let us all do so, rejoicing and giving thanks that God has given us a president who feels and believes and acts the very same way. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the freedom we have in you. May we always practice it, and may we defend it. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.